while the world whizzes by. Enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Tonight, MPP majority in Parliament accuses Speaker of prioritizing international travels over parliamentary business. As they serve notice, they will compel Abang-Babwing to recall the House as they accuse him of unilaterally adjourning Parliament indefinitely.
We vehemently disagree with the unilateral decision to adjourn the House immediately. We are, with immediate effect, going to engage our caucus with the sole aim at getting the necessary consent of members to procure their signatories to recall the House.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Now, the MPP majority in Parliament and the Speaker of the House, Abang-Babwing, have clashed again after the Speaker indefinitely adjourned Parliament. Now, this is the second meeting in the row that the Speaker has adjourned the House abruptly, with several government business left in limbo. Tonight, the majority leader is accusing the Speaker of unilaterally doing so and prioritizing international travels over parliamentary business. Last night, the Speaker adjourned the House indefinitely to the anger of the majority caucus. My parliamentary correspondent Kwaku Asante is with me in the studio now. A day after that, the minority side have already been defending the Speaker, and the majority side have been addressing a news conference. This is setting up to be one very interesting recess indeed. And Kwaku, what really is the background to this?
Well, yesterday there was this crucial loan, the Energy Sector Recovery Program loan of $250 million between the government of Ghana and the World Bank's IDA. And that loan arrangement was taken on the floor. The motion was moved. It was seconded. It was set to be approved until Mohamed Muntaka Mubarak Triu spoke in the wheels of this approval, raising concerns that it appeared $90 million or actually $95.8 million out of the $250 million was set to be spent on consultancy. He believed that meant the loan was not in the best interest of the country. And so despite the loan having been recommended for approval by both sides of the House, he managed to get the minority MPs to back down on that agreement to approve this loan. Eventually, a question was put and the loan was defeated. The majority side did try to call for division, to say they were challenging the voice vote declaration of the Speaker of Parliament, but the Speaker of Parliament will not budge. And as that was ongoing, the Speaker of Parliament just decided to adjourn Parliament indefinitely.
And this is the Speaker yesterday on this particular matter.
And there's no way the Speaker can preside and be pretending to be doing the right thing when everybody will see it's so visible that it is wrong for the Speaker. So I'll do what is right. And truly, the noes had it. And the motion is accordingly rejected.
Speaker,
yes, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I'm challenging the decision.
and I'm requesting for
a division
on this matter.
Division? Well, just read the standing orders on. The best in the circumstances is for us to adjourn the House synergy. And that is what I proceed to do. That is what I proceed to do. I've been presiding here. Yesterday, we closed around 11 p.m. I sat in the office. I left getting to 2 p.m. I was here since morning. So please, understand. And I'm committed to another national assignment. I did indicate that since last week, there's nothing I can do. None of my deputies is available. And so we have to adjourn synergy. Yes. Majority Deputy Whip.
Mr. Speaker, with respect, since your decision on the or your opinion on the voice vote has been challenged with division, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to plead if we can get 5 minutes suspense so that leadership could engage on this matter. Mr. Speaker, based on what you said, we wouldn't have time for the division. Since you are engaged with other national assignment, it is better, since the decision is being challenged on division, leadership will now engage on this issue. Because we don't have the luxury of time. Since you have other engagement and you have already indicated to us how long you could be on the chair. So, Mr. Speaker, with respect, if we can suspend for 5 minutes so that leadership can engage on this issue.
Honorable members, please, I proceed to adjourn the House synergy.
Now, this controversy, and obviously the Speaker overruled that call for division, although he was challenged with that particular matter, and then just went ahead to adjourn the House indefinitely. But the controversy really revolved around this allegation that government was dedicating $90 million out of a $250 million facility just for consultancy. Yeah. And it was Muntaka Mubarak who was on his feet making this particular point, after which the House was adjourned after this whole facility was shut rejected, down.
Yeah. You take $250 million and then about 94.8 is going for consultancy. The Speaker, just to explain this properly, because the Speaker, I want to beg this out. The Speaker, it is good that ECG be supported to carry out its core function. The Speaker, if we have to take 250 and about 90 million of it should be consultancy, please, we need to reject this one. We don't need it because it is going to impoverish us.
So clearly the majority side wanted an opportunity to correct this.
Yes.
And they wanted more time, consult, come back, and possibly get the House to approve what had just been rejected.
Yes.
So today the majority leader held a news conference.
Yes.
Well, but where was he on the floor when this was happening, when the Speaker was adjourning indefinitely?
He was trying to get the judges vetted. The two judges the President has nominated, he had tried to get some buy-in. Mind you, there was some chaos early that morning because the minority would not allow that. So he was there. And in fact, at the time the Speaker was about to adjourn, he had just walked into the chamber, standing on his feet, trying to catch the Speaker's attention. But the Speaker just did not listen to him and adjourn. He has been holding a news conference accusing the Speaker of Parliament of prioritizing international travels. He says this particular trip to the U.S., he's part of it as part of leadership. But because there are business to be done locally, he believes the House should have dealt that. And even if the deputy speakers are not available together with the Speaker, the standing orders make room for a member presiding. And if the Speaker was so bent on traveling, he could have triggered that. And that is why they are so angry with the Speaker.
To express our disappointment at the turn of events by Mr. Speaker. Well, we all know that in this Chamber of Parliament, we proceed on matters reach consensus and take decisions. I do not think that issue about adjournment and the reopening of parliament is purely administrative. I heard a few days ago about this adjournment synergy, and I must say in all sincerity that I engaged those I had to engage, and I was getting to a certain understanding that we could reach some consensus considering the number of business that we had as a house. Surprisingly, he did not give his closing remarks, neither did he allow leaders to even make certain remarks, which have become, these have become part of the practice of parliament. And these are worrying, very worrying. That notwithstanding, Mr. Speaker is the father of parliament. He presides. We don't want to go into any banter with him. We will not act in a manner disrespectful of the chair, except to say that we vehemently disagree with the unilateral decision to adjourn the House in India.
So what are they going to do about this?
They say they are going to recall parliament. And in fact, in the last few hours, we have gotten a notice from the majority leader addressed to the Speaker of Parliament asking him to recall. But you can listen to the majority leader say that the Speaker of Parliament had not acted properly, for which reason they believe they were going to recall the House for an emergency sitting.
Of course, I can also understand the constraints of Mrs. Speaker, given the fact that the first deputy speaker is out of the jurisdiction, the second deputy speaker is also out of the jurisdiction. However, our rules permit or allows us to have a member presiding. So I still hold the view that Mr. Speaker could still have traveled for the NCSL program in the United States. I, for instance, am billed for that travel. But I don't think that it is more important than government business that I'm undertaking. We are, with immediate effect, going to engage our caucus with the sole aim at getting the necessary consent of members to procure their signatories to recall the House in accordance with law. So expect to see a recall request from us.
And you've now cited that recall request.
Yes.
What specifically are they asking for? Why are they asking for the recall?
They say a number of key government businesses is still outstanding. In fact, they consider that this $250 million loan rejected is still outstanding. And if you look at the number of businesses, they say the House must consider during this sitting. Motion on the financing agreement between the government of Ghana and the IDA for $250 million for the Ghana Energy Sector Recovery Program. They do not consider that this is done. Request for tax exemptions designated beneficiaries under the One District, One Factory Program. It was part of the reason they recalled Parliament the last time. It is still outstanding. The Ghana Financial Stability Fund loan of $250 million, about 10 bills, the budget bill, rent bill, universities bill, the Ghana Industrial Property Bill, and they say that all these businesses are still outstanding, and they thought they could have taken all of them before the Speaker abruptly adjourned the House.
Kuku, thank you very much. Thankfully, we can speak to Habib Idrisu, who's the first Deputy Majority Whip and joins us on the line right now. Mr. Idrisu, thanks for your time here on Top Story. I mean, Parliament has adjourned indefinitely. The Speaker has ruled on this particular matter, and the long list of things you've just laid out, that the first one is a $250 million facility, which you lost the voice vote on yesterday on the floor. That is a matter that is closed now, is it not?
Hello. Good evening, Evans. But that matter is not closed. If you look at the proceedings in Parliament and the procedure in closing matters in Parliament, yes, after the debate, the question was put, and then the Speaker opinion, he said the no's has it. So it was challenged under Order 153 for a division. And I drew the attention of the Speaker to the fact that Order 1532 also says that after the bell is ringed 1 minute, leadership can engage and for us to continue. So even the speaker himself acknowledged the fact that his decision, his opinion has been challenged. Until we settle that, there is no decision to say that the 250 million IDA loan on the energy sector has been rejected. So it can be the fact that it has been rejected because that decision has been challenged, even though it's inconclusive. And this parliament, we have seen many times that decision of such nature by Mr. Speaker has been challenged, which has overturned decisions and actually confirmed decisions in other cases. So yesterday, what actually happened, even before we got into that, Speaker had indicated that he has traveled to leave the country. So we draw his attention to the fact that the second deputy speaker will be coming in. So if he adjourned but not sitting there, then today we could be able to consider a number of bills that are very important. So today we had actually sent a memo to the office of the speaker compelling him to recall parliament.
But the procedure for recall when the House stands adjourned indefinitely is not to compel them, it's to gather your signatures and to force a recall.
Yeah, so it's, when I say compelling him means that it's not discretionary. It's not like the Speaker will have the right to say that I'm not going to call Parliament. Because if you look at our standing orders in Order 53.1 and Order 53.2, it says that 15% of our members can actually sign for Parliament to be recalled.
Have you signed already?
By the Constitution in Article 112, Clause 3 or so. So it is a constitutional provision, and we have done that before. So if the Speaker receives it, I am very positive that he is going to act accordingly because he has done it before. For us to come back to consider 5 main criteria of issues that is of national importance to us, like your correspondent did indicate, the one IDA loan, we have 2 of them, and then we have the waivers that is outstanding. We have a number of important bills, like the Environmental Protection Bill. It is very important.
Yeah, we'll come to the specifics.
We need the Social Protection Bill.
Yeah, we will come to the specifics shortly, but let's look at procedure though. Have you gathered the signatures required, specified under the both the Constitution and the standing orders to compel him?
Yes, I can confirm to you that after the time that we were sending the memo to him, I had signatures of close to about 123 or 27 of our members who have signed for us to do the recall of Parliament.
And on the subject of the $250 million loan, which was really the controversy at the time that this was adjourned indefinitely, the procedure, though, in your standing orders, doesn't appear that that's the procedure you attempted to follow to stop the Speaker from calling adjourning indefinitely. Okay. You call for division. But I read here in your standing orders that what should have happened, and the Speaker pointed to this, was a head count. Instead of jumping straight to division, and that's why this was overruled and the indefinite adjournment happened.
Evans, it's never true that that was overruled. Our standing orders, if you challenge the decision of the Speaker, the person challenging will now say that I'm calling for a head count, I am calling for a division. And in this case, the member who challenged, who is the chairman of the Finance Committee, specifically say division. And if you heard me when I was drawing the Speaker attention to Order 153.2, the Speaker told me that in procedure, when there is a call for a division, Order 153.1 rather says that they should clear the gallery and let the bell be ring for 1 minute. Then before he comes to the Order 153.2, which now says that leadership of both majority and minority caucus or independent caucus will now engage.
But that must be preceded.
Cannot jump the one without doing the two. But he's acknowledged, and it is on our Hansard, and Hansard will capture it, that his decision was challenged. His Speaker had acknowledged that his decision
has been challenged. But the fact that it is on our record,
it means that there is no closure to the matter.
But the process you just described must be preceded by a head count. And that didn't happen either yesterday.
Yeah, so he suspended it. So it means that Hansard or the vote and proceedings will capture that. Speaker put the question and says Speaker opinion note had it. There was a challenge to the decision of the speaker, where the member called for a division, even though that procedure haven't finished yet. This parliament, it happened. I cannot quite remember the exact case, but it was a case whereby the opinion of the speaker was challenged. We didn't take the decision immediately, but we rather took another day or two where we reconvened, and then we went into the division head count, and then we won the head count on that matter. So it does not mean, or it is not the case for the fact that he didn't clear the gallery, the members were not counted, and all that to get a decision. It means that the decision has not been challenged. On the records of Parliament, and on the opinion of the speaker, which the speaker acknowledged that order 153 was raised.
Thankfully, joining me also is your colleague, Ahmed Ibrahim. He's the first deputy minority whip. Mr. Ibrahim, thanks for your time here on Top Story. Do you agree there must be a recall on the back of what happened last night?
Hello, come again.
Hello, Mr. Ibrahim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Great. Do you agree that there must be a recall on the back of the speaker's indefinite adjournment of the House when a division had been called by a member on the majority side?
To begin with, let me say a very good evening to your cherished listeners. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing the petition for the recall on social media. And it is late for me to go to the Speaker's office to cross-check as to whether it had been, the petition had been filed at the Speaker's office. But the constitutional provision, Article 112, says that as soon as that petition is received in the Speaker's office, appropriately signed. So, as to whether they sent it or not is one thing, and as to whether it meets the criteria for recall is another thing. But all those are matters that will have to be interpreted by the Speaker.
But do you agree the Speaker was wrong to adjourn the House indefinitely in the time when the division had just been called by a member?
Adjournment lies in the bosom of the Speaker. How can I qualify to say he's wrong?
I mean,
and we knew the speaker was going to adjourn at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, because he couldn't finish the business that was supposed to be done, he said he would close at 5.
Yeah, but Ahmed,
then he ended adjourning at 7.
Yes, but Ahmed, the constitutional provisions and the standing orders that govern what you do in the House is not about when and time. It's about following laid down procedure and due process. The argument is that the speaker didn't follow any of that.
Which procedure did the speaker breach?
The procedure around what you do when a division is moved on the floor.
No. As for the matter of division or not, I don't know how they are interpreting the speaker. That motion was, question was put, and the vote, the motion was rejected. After some time, they came that they were challenging it. But as to how the speaker will solve it or will solve it with them, it's a matter that they have to resolve. But I have been the leadership for a long time. When a speaker is presiding, he's on the side of government. At the point they were even calling for the division, if we had done the division self, they would have still lost. Because we were more than them. So when a speaker is giving you a signal, it is up to the government to get the wisdom of the speaker and know that this man is going in one direction. But they fail to recognize that.
Yeah, but you're not speaking the language of the standing orders and the law on the matter. What may have happened in the future, nobody knows. But the law says a division has been moved.
No, you respect the
procedure.
Leadership is leadership. Every speaker is a patriotic person, and he's number three in the land. So he's always in the side making sure that government business goes through. What would be the benefit? What would be of interest if you lose majority side is minority? We were more than them. The voice were more than them. Binomials were more than them. So even if you counted 100 times, that would have confirmed even the defeat. So if I'm a speaker and I want to support government, what I will do is I'll make sure that I will defer, even if they call for division air count, I will defer it. That's what we used to do. As leadership, when we were in government, at certain times, if anything happens, Mr. Speaker, don't put the question. Mr. Speaker, let's defer the question. Mr. Speaker, let's defer the counting. We used to do those things. So Parliament is not just that. You need to get the wisdom of the House and read the wisdom of the speaker. This is how you lead.
Yeah, but Ahmed Ibrahim, the speaker did not defer. He adjourned indefinitely.
The speaker was saying, honorable members, the best thing for me to do is to adjourn. The best thing for me to do is to adjourn. And I think as a leader, I understood what the speaker wanted.
Yeah, but do you agree that once a call for division had come up, the speaker necessarily must comply with the procedure that followed?
The call for division did not even immediately come.
But it did come before he went ahead to adjourn indefinitely.
Even though we have not adjourned for the day, but it did not come at the right time that the question was asked. But that's not what I'm challenging. It is not of interest to me to make sure that a motion and facility loan is, we are going for a loan and the motion is lost. What will be of interest to me is to make sure that the conditions and the information that was being asked for is brought. The questions that were asked are addressed. After that, you can put your question and go for your loan.
No, Ahmed, what you are saying is entirely not true. Remember that the report was a consensus report from the committee. The committee came up with a report that both parties have agreed. When the motion was moved by the chairman on our side, it was seconded by Adongo, who is the ranking member, to support it. Yes, when the information that was provided for, the chairman of the committee had been able to explain it. And speaker said that the information has been provided. But at that time, the information was not captured on the report. So the report that was...
Why was the information not captured in the report?
Because that was not there. So it is not the case that your side didn't agree.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why was the information not captured in the report?
Some of the issues were not...
You are a finance committee. We have confidence in you. And we say you are experts. Go and consider this agreement and bring it to you. The report that you have brought before me does not give sufficient information. And the report you have brought before me, a senior member of the House has read the report and said that about 90 million out of the 250 million is for consultancy.
I can remember very clearly that.
Bring information. Why is this so?
You were not
this is what happened. And clearly, was it deliberate not to include those information in the report?
That the information has been provided. You can go and watch
But how can you tell me that the information that was provided was accepted?
What was captured? Because he provided the information, the very questions.
No. You see, let's do what is right. When you are writing a report, make sure you write a very concrete report. Whoever lays hands on your report, based upon what he's holding, is what he will interpret.
And you have been in leadership.
So if you write a report and part of the information, you are holding part of the information, you have to be asked before you bring it thought by thought. This is how it will end you.
Okay.
But that notwithstanding, if you are saying you have the information, you are saying, okay, put the question. Then they put the question. If members are convinced, they will vote for you. And that notwithstanding, Habib, you agree that we are more than you.
Okay.
The division procedure hasn't
gone. My numbers were more than you. Is it true or false?
Okay, Ahmed. Ahmed and Habib. Ahmed and Ibrahim, stay with me. This is something we need to clear up just before both of you go. But one person must speak at a time. Ahmed, let me come to you first. But Ahmed, just a second. Very briefly, because we need to wrap up. Fundamentally, though, the request has gone to the speaker, and the Habib Idris confirms that your side will comply now that the procedure has been triggered. Ahmed, your side will comply now that the procedure has been triggered.
Oh, Parliament is a creature of the Constitution, and the last time they invoked Article 112, we all came. And once they have invoked it again, if they meet the criteria, the speaker will recall us, and we all have to comply.
Okay, thank you very much, Ahmed Ibrahim. There's a first deputy minority whip and LA head Habib Idris is a first deputy majority whip. And what do you make of that? And the controversy revolves around this whole $250 million facility, and the accusation was that $90 million of that had been earmarked for consultancy. Today we heard from the chairman of the Energy Committee in Parliament, William Urekwedu, who says that is factually inaccurate.
My senior colleague, Honorable Muntaka Muhammad, got it totally, totally wrong. I don't believe he read the document before he stood up to make the assertions that he made. Honestly, I don't know where he got that from, because there's a document which was circulated to all members of parliament. And it's very clear the 90 million was totally not for a consultancy purpose.
And that there is the chairman of the Energy Committee, William Orekwuedu. The Newsnight starts now.
Welcome to Newsnight. Hours after President Akufo-Addo launched the accelerated road construction project dubbed District Road Improvement Program, minority in parliament are demanding the full cost of the equipment to be distributed under the program.
Of 2,240 units, includes motor graders, backhoes.
We have details of the RTI request plus their concern about government breaching parliamentary resolution by excluding MPs from the management of the program.
What we meant is that we were expressly assured that the MPs and the DCs will together chair the management committee that will be formed.
Plus, we have the presidential slip of tongue.
Since January 2017 till date, i.e. in the Akufo-Addo Mahama Bawumia era. That's unforgivable.
Also this evening, Chairman of Parliament's Assurance Committee faces off with Lands and Natural Resources Minister on the first day of sitting, as he describes as unacceptable the inability of the Lands Ministry to provide a list of state lands sold since 1993.
A particular political tenure ends, this list will be provided. So, Honourable Minister, you have to do better than that.
Also tonight,
PP presidential candidate is going to win the election.
We will not sleep until Madam Jean Mensah named NDC as the winners.
And with less than 5 months to the December 7 polls, National Security Minister sounds the alarm on possible chaos, expressing deep worry over the eroding trust in the judiciary.
That obviously creates a security challenge for me, where I sit. We may, for the first time, experience a situation where none of the major political parties will be willing to explore the courts to address their grievances.
And in business, price of LPG also expected to witness some marginal reduction later this week.
And in sports, Confusion rocks Team Nigeria after sprint star Favour Ofili left out of women's 100 metres at the Paris Olympics, despite appearing on the final list submitted by the Athletics Federation of Nigeria.
Plus, sponsors of anti-LGBTQ bill to demonstrate against the Chief Justice on August 21 over what they deem as the delay in the process towards the transmission of the bill to the president.
As children of God and as Ghanaians, we know it is against our religion, it's against our culture. We want to do a peaceful march on the 21st of August to the Chief Justice, because right now it's not the president that's holding it. It is the Chief Justice.
That's and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. You want to join us with your thoughts, your comments, is via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evans Mensa. Details after this.
Is Mamukia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for Family Healthcare Plan.